friends, if you recognize that theme song, you know what time it is. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We fully understand that this is one of the busiest times in the year, but it's so important that we don't get caught up in the momentum of the holiday and we misunderstand the holy day that is just about to be celebrated on December the 25th. Christmas Day is a holy, holy, holy day because it is a day that celebrates and commemorates the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to lay in a manger that he might grow to 30 years of age, 33 years of age to be exact, and to go to the cross and to lay down his life for you and for me. If he had not come in that manger, he couldn't have went to that cross, and if he hadn't went to that cross, he wouldn't have been raised from the dead, and we wouldn't have the hope of heaven beyond this life. God is so good to love us enough to give his only begotten Son, to send him into our fallen world to take our sins and be punished for them, that we might receive him as our Savior and obtain eternal life. It is a celebration of salvation, nothing less. There's nothing that can be placed under a Christmas tree that can take the place of the one who hung on that tree over 2,000 years ago. Well, we want you to get into that true spirit of Christmas. We're talking about, as our subject matter leading up to Christmas Day, the cradle and the cross, the bitter, sweet story of Christmas. Jesus came to hang on the cross for you and me. And I'm so glad that he came. He condescended to come down, become helpless as a helpless child in his mother's arms, and grow into manhood and do what he did in our behalf. Praise God. I'm going to celebrate salvation this Christmas. And the wonderful thing about it, when Christmas is over, that attitude of celebration of being saved just continues if you're a Christian, or it should. And if it doesn't, we want to try to correct that too today. Amen. I don't know about your house, but around my house, there's going to be a lot of people that are not with us, and we're going to miss them. Their uncles and aunts that are with the Lord, my dad and my mom, all of my uncles, all of my aunts. I mean, my grandpa and grandma, of course, they're all with the Lord. And I was privileged to share Christ with many of them. And that's one of the reasons they are with the Lord, because they accepted him. So though those empty places are going to be in our Christmas gathering, there is a clear appreciation for the gospel like never before, because the circle isn't going to be broken forever. There's a great resurrection coming, and there's a great reunion, and the resurrection will happen in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The reunion is going to last forever and forever. We want to encourage you, amen, because there is a lot of things to take away the true joy of Christmas, the true reason why those great hymns of faith that are now Christmas carols that concern the manger and the absolute joyous good news that God has goodwill toward men, and he fulfilled that goodwill in Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we want you to find the joy in him that you can't find where death has hit families, and where disease has come and divorce has come and discouragement and despair has come. There is hope for you and I today, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. That is the very message of Christmas. It's about salvation and a Savior. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to read from the book of Micah today under this heading, the cradle and the cross, the bittersweet story of Christmas. And by the way, the sweet is on our part. The bitter was on his part, but the sweet is on our part today. Amen. And this prophecy in Micah chapter 2 down through part of verse 5 of this Messiah, this Savior that God would send into our world. He would be born in a specific place. He would come for a specific purpose. And we want to talk about the place and the purpose out of this prophecy in Micah chapter 5 verse 2 through 5. It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been of old from everlasting." Oh, that's an important point in this first statement here in the book of Micah. This baby that was born didn't have a beginning the day he was born in Bethlehem. His goings, his life line and life lineage reaches back from everlasting. Literally in the Hebrew, it means the days of eternity. He came from eternity. He was God incarnate, God in flesh. I love the Rambo song years ago that said his steps didn't begin in Bethlehem and they did not end at Calvary. He came from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth, and this man shall be the peace. Now, this, I want to read it from the paraphrase. Maybe it will uncomplicate it and unravel it a bit. "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, though you were small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times," literally from eternity. "Therefore Israel will be abandoned until the time that she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness shall reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace." And it goes on to talk about the Assyrians rising up in the land, but he will be their peace. You know, the Bible said that the angel message on that first Christmas was peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And there was an assumption that this little child would somehow bring peace to the whole world. No, it's actually worded in the sense to mean, in context of the rest of the scriptures, the New Testament, it literally meant peace will come to those that receive him. Oh, peace in the dictionary says the cessation of wars. The cessation of all conflict. We live in a world that is marked with wars and rumors of wars and conflict and confusion. It's always something that is interrupting that kind of peace. But there is a peace that is found in a person, not in the immediate circumstance. And that person is Jesus Christ. And when we have peace with God, because of the great salvation that he obtained for us, then we can experience the peace of God even in the midst of the tumult and the turmoil of living in faulty bodies in a fallen world. Ah, friend, make no mistake about it. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he is therefore the source of true peace. You'll hear a lot of songs about peace. And there's been songs written that have nothing to do with Christmas about peace. This grand idea of peace on earth. And there's a day coming when the Prince of Peace comes back to this earth, and there will be peace, and there will be peace because he will rule with a rod of iron. And the Bible said the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, and on that time, during that period of the millennial reign of Jesus upon the earth, they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Can you imagine what's going to happen when the Prince of Peace returns and he takes over this earth? Praise God. Amen. All of the military budgets of the world will be utilized for agricultural development. God won't have to work a miracle. All he will have to do is enforce peace on this planet. Praise God. And there would not be a hungry soul among the millions that are going to die of starvation and related diseases to malnutrition. Not one person will go hungry on this planet when Jesus rules it, instead of the enemy influencing men and women that are in power. As long as that kind of peace is pursued, man producing peace. In fact, the Bible said when man tries to achieve it without acknowledging God or His Son and our Savior, when they cry peace, when they think they have achieved it without God and without Christ, when they say peace and safety, the scriptures teach, when they say we've done it, we have cooperated, we are bringing peace on the earth. When they say that, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child. As sure as a woman that is carrying a child will go into travail, judgment will fall upon the earth when man exalts himself to that place and is deceived and following the Antichrist. Friend, it's not the Antichrist that can bring peace. It's Jesus Christ. And thank God for Christmas that declares God's will and purpose is to give us a peace that this old fallen world can never produce, but to assure us that the change is going to come when Jesus returns to this planet. Praise God. So in this book of Micah, we find Jesus Christ brought forth prophetically as a shepherd king and a sacrifice lamb and the one and only provider of peace. Make no mistake about it. If you don't have peace in your heart because of Jesus Christ this Christmas season, you will never find it wrapped up under a Christmas tree. Amen. But if you receive Jesus Christ, amen, there can be peace in the midst of the most awful circumstances imaginable. When His peace comes, it's a supernatural peace, not a circumstantial peace. The Bible said it is a peace that passes all understanding. I want to take these point by point today. He will stand, Micah said, he will stand as a shepherd, and he will serve in the strength of the Lord. He will grant strength to his people. Praise God. Amen. He will stand as a shepherd in the strength of the Lord. That's what David was talking about in that most familiar of Psalms, Psalm 23. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. Though he is a king, he is a shepherd king. Amen. And that means he is intimately concerned with and involved with his people. He will stand and shepherd in the strength of the Lord. That's what Christmas is all about. You don't have to live your life in your own strength. You don't have to handle it on your own. God doesn't help those who help themselves. You have help. You can turn to God for strength, and He will give it to you. And while attempting to rescue a fellow soldier, this true story, Bob Weiland lost both legs in Vietnam. He had dreamed of being a professional baseball player after the war, but that dream was gone forever. many men in this situation are overcome with bitterness and despair and discouragement, but Bob wasn't. He said, "I lost my legs, not my heart." And he became a great athlete. He walks on his hands now and has completed a 3-year walk across America some time ago. He has participated in the race across America on a custom-made bicycle and in the Hawaii Ironman Triathlon. He can bench press an amazing, and this is amazing, 507 pounds. He said that he learned to cast all his cares on Jesus. And he learned how the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Those scriptures are found in 1 Peter 5:7, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25. In his words, "I do the best I can to apply the word of God to my life because I know it works." Hallelujah. That's the kind of strength Jesus offers. No matter what happens, we can depend on Him to get us through. Our lives don't have to be characterized by failure or bitterness or missed opportunities. He will give you the strength to face whatever comes your way. The Apostle Paul said, "I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me." Literally, he was saying, "I'm equal to anything, no matter what life throws at me, what the enemy tries to do to me. I am equal to it through the strength that he grants me." Because you see, the Bible said he would stand and shepherd in the strength of the Lord. And the wonderful thing about it, Jesus can give us, because of what he has to offer, what he has, he can grant and give to us his peace, his strength. That's what Christmas is all about. It means you are not alone. You are not a victim of the circumstances of your life. You can have a shepherd, and you can live in victory in his strength. I know, without a doubt, that many of you are facing challenges right now that are bigger than you are, bigger than I am. You're in a battle that you don't have the strength to win on your own. Maybe even especially on Christmas, you may feel all of the hurt and all of the pain of the circumstance that you're in more than any other time of the year. Well, friend, here's the good news. You don't have to face it alone. God will be your shepherd, and God, therefore, will be your strength. Ah, friend, if you don't know Jesus and you receive Him as your Savior, you will find that He will give to you what He promised. He promised a grace sufficient. He promised a strength. He promised a peace that passes all understanding. Amen. Secondly, He wants to give you security. We live in an insecure world. Neither certainty nor safety exist in this fallen world, even though we spend our lives trying to find both. We look to the government, to our employer, to our investments, to our relationships, and none of them can provide us with the security we need. The things we turn to most often simply don't have the ability to offer true security. Like Bob Weiland learned in Vietnam, our world can come crashing down at any moment. One simple word can change our lives forever. A word like divorce or cancer or death or downsizing. We hear that word and suddenly the world doesn't seem so safe anymore. The fact is, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't even know what our Christmases are going to be like. We can plan that meal perfectly. We can plan everything down to the letter. But an event can take place to change everything that we have planned. We can't depend on the world to offer security because he doesn't have it to give. There's only one place we can find security. Micah said it this way, "And they, his flock, shall live secure, for now he shall be great unto the ends of the earth." Jesus offers the security of knowing that He is in control, that He has the power and the ability to take care of us. That's what a shepherd does, and that's what He wants to do for you and for me. Ezekiel says so clearly, "I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. I will make them lie down," says the Lord God. And verse 16, "I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak," according to Ezekiel 34:15-16. He's saying, "I'm going to take care of you. You're safe with me. I've got your back. If you're lost, I'll find you. If you stray, I'll bring you back. If you're injured, I'll strengthen you. I am your shepherd. I will take care of you." God made this promise to us. He said, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you," in Hebrews 13:5. Jesus also said, in terms of those wonderful promises that He gives us and that He alone can keep, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Hallelujah. Praise God. You remember the song, "Put your hand in the hand of the man from Galilee." Praise God. Amen. If we put our hand in His hand, it's not our grip on Him that gives us security. It's His grip on us. I've often told the story of walking with my youngest son, who is now 40. My oldest son has turned 50 this month. But I remember walking with him down near Tampa Bay along the seawall when on a windy day when the tide was in and there were little white caps even in the bay on the waters. It was a little scary for him as a little boy holding on to my hand. Actually, I had given him 3 fingers to hold on to so it would fit his little hand, and he was gripping. He wanted to look over and see that water, but he was so afraid. He was gripping my fingers until his little knuckles were becoming white as the circulation was cutting off. And the realization was his grip on me, his very weight, his grip on me wasn't his security. And he wasn't enjoying the walk for fear of falling in. And I took his hand away from my fingers and put my hand around his entire hand and wrist, and he felt my strength, and suddenly he began to not only look but just strain to see how far and how close he could get over and look into the water to see a seagull or a fish or something. And he began to enjoy walking near the edge of the seawall because subconsciously and yet consciously, after a while, he began to realize it wasn't his grip on me. It was my grip on him. And he knew that Daddy wouldn't turn him loose. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you something. The Heavenly Father will not turn you loose if you come to Christ and make Jesus your Savior. Your God becomes your Heavenly Father, and He gets a grip on you, and He promises, "I won't leave you, I won't forsake you, I'll go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age." Praise God. There's nothing like that kind of security in all of this world. Jesus said, "Those my Father hath given me, no man shall pluck them out of his hand, out of my hand, for the Father that giveth them me is greater than them all." You may be a Christian today and you're walking with God, but you're trying to hang on for dear life. It's your grip on Him that is your security. And I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to feel very secure in your strength. But when you feel His grip on you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You have to lift your hand up that He might take it by faith. But when He gets a hold of it, you feel His strength. And you realize my security is not in my strength, but it is in His. That is the whole issue of winning spiritual warfare over our enemy. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, that, boy, we've got a formidable foe to fight. That we don't argue against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take the whole armor of God. But it says in the beginning, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. God's hand holding you. God's grip upon you. That is our security. Jesus came with not just some power, but He declared, I have all power over heaven and earth. Praise God. And it's this Jesus that said, I've got a hold of you. I am supporting you. God told ancient Israel something very similar in the book of Isaiah. He said, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Praise God. First time I read that, I could see me being weak and stumbling and God just coming alongside and supporting me. But it's not in that sense in the wording, because it would mean He would just add His strength to my strength. And guess what? Guess where the weakness still lies? Guess where the insecurity can still creep in? It's in that strength of mind that can come to an end and give out. And that's why He said, when I do this, I want to do it completely. Amen. To uphold means to pick up from the earth. It doesn't mean to come alongside to help. It means to pick you up completely until all the strength is His sustaining you and none of it your own. Praise God. Amen. I feel like that commercial when I read that says, oh, what a relief it is to know that I'm supported and sustained by the Spirit of God and not by my own strength, will, or resolve. Hallelujah. So when I am weak, Paul said it in the New Testament, when I am weak and He does that in my life, then am I made truly strong. Praise God. Amen. There's all kind of things that can knock me back and knock me down. But if I look to God the way that He said He wants me to look to Him with everything I am and everything I have, there's nothing that can keep me down and keep me from getting up and keep me from going on. And the same goes for you today. Praise God. To them that hath no might, the Bible said He increases strength. I don't know what you're facing this Christmas, but God doesn't want you to face it alone. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I pray today, as this broadcast is closing, that right now, right where you are, that you will receive Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior. Right now, right where you are, you don't have to be in a church with a steeple, stained glass windows. You don't have to hear a choir singing, just as I am. All of that is good, but all you need to hear is the Shepherd King saying, come, come, let me help you. Let me begin by forgiving your sin, saving your soul, that God may father you and Jesus may never leave you throughout life and throughout all eternity. Come to Jesus this Christmas and let it be the greatest celebration of salvation that could ever be. And if you are a Christian, don't look for peace in people or presents, but in the One who said that He could give you peace that passes all understanding. It's in a person, and that person is Jesus, and He wants to reach out to you this Christmas season. Oh, we love you, friend. Would you come back next week, the last Sunday before Christmas, and let's talk about Jesus.